Welcome to the Craig and Greg Show, presented by Maximize Leadership. Now, here are Craig Owens and Greg Harris.
Hey, welcome back. It's another award-winning episode of the Craig and Greg Show. I'm Craig, sitting alongside Greg. We collaborate on a lot of things together, this podcast being probably the one of the things that's most visible that you see, but there's a whole lot of stuff that goes on behind the scenes.
Behind the scenes.
We were just talking about, before we started recording, some of the technology that we lean into, some of those notes that we share, and kind of collaborate that way. And one of our collaborations... Yes. Is right here. This is book one in our series called Business by the Book. You haven't even seen the official copy yet. No. I've been hiding it from you so I could do the big reveal right now.
Maybe.
I can't tell you my hiding spots.
Oh, yeah.
Even my hiding spots are secret.
Why is my name first? I said don't put my name first.
Alphabetical order. And
no, it's C to G.
And age.
Oh, eight. Okay. So. Project's canceled.
So this is book one of our series, Business by the Book. And the book is?
The Bible.
Right. And that's something that you and I rely on a lot, regardless of whether I tend to operate more in the church world and nonprofit world and the schools. You tend to be more in the for-profit business community, but there's no limit to where that Bible goes. But we want to talk about... So, for those of you that haven't seen, and we can share below in the show notes, we will give you a link to a video where we first introduced this series that we were starting of books. But basically what Greg and I did was we sat down and we designed, laid out a typical corporate flowchart for a fairly decent sized business. Mm-hmm. I know some of the, in a smaller business, you got maybe one or two people that wear a lot of hats, but right. In some of the bigger corporations, maybe one person just wears one hat for that box. And we're writing a book for each box on the corporate flowchart. So this one addresses the CEO's role as a vision caster. And we're going to talk a little bit about a couple of chapters in our book today, so that people get an idea of what the book's about. But let's talk about that, first of all, that importance of casting vision. We can't have vision by committee.
Nope.
So it's got to be that point person that is casting the vision. How important is that?
I think there's that bad quote, which I've probably misused over the years. If you're taking a walk or you're walking and no one's behind you, you're just taking a walk. You're not leading. And I think that's where people want to know where we're going. What are we about? What are we going to accomplish? Do we have the right people? And I think the CEO or the leader really brings out clarity and confidence. Mm-hmm. I know what we're doing, and I believe we're going to get there based on who we have in our team. But that chapter is, or the book on CEO is very, very helpful. We started at the top of the org chart, and we'll get to other spaces on the org chart too. But I really love how, so you start the first chapter, I do the second, just to share how the book was written. And I try to dovetail or fit the glove on what you're writing.
Sure.
And then the third is yours, fourth is mine, fifth and sixth. So today we're doing the fifth and sixth chapters, right?
So we're going to talk about chapters 5 and 6 in this book. And as you can see, it's not a very big book. I did a little test.
The Bible is, though.
Yes.
Okay, good.
I sat down, and when I got our first copy, I just sat down and said, let's pretend like I just got the book for the first time. Oh. And I just sat down and read it cover to cover. And you can read the whole book in less than an hour. But we hope that people would walk away with this with really kind of, because like you said, the two chapters would dovetail together, really three solid principles that are based on the Bible and based on practical business applications as well. So in these chapters 5 and 6, now we just said, that casting the vision can't be by committee. It's got to be that point leader. But in chapters 5 and 6, we talk about that point leader can't take the whole organization there by him or herself.
Correct.
They need the whole team to get there. And so chapter 5, we talk about empowering the team that is around you. One of the strategies I've used that has been, I think probably, I don't even know how I originally like stumbled on this, but helping everybody to get to know themselves first, which is also insightful to me. And so I might pick a common assessment that everybody could take. You and I like StrengthsFinder mm-hmm. a lot. That's mm-hmm. a good one. There's been maybe even a temperaments test so that you realize, oh, this person is choleric and this person's melancholic. So when I speak it like this, they're hearing it this way, they're hearing it this way. Yep. Or when they're speaking back to me because maybe I'm also choleric, I'm hearing the choleric here, but I'm hearing the melancholic, and there's going to be some parts of my choleric nature that I'm going to go, wait a minute.
Yeah.
And so, but understanding that is really good. And so that's one of the things we talk about in chapter 5 mm-hmm. is how can we assess our teammates to know where they are, how they communicate, what their strengths are, and that they know that about themselves and know that about me as the point leader
right.
as well.
I think the empowerment contrasts like set a vision and I'm going to march and you're all going to follow me mm. is more command. But when you empower someone, like walk right next to you.
Yep.
Because they bought in, they understand, which is really the key on clarity. And for most leaders, it feels good to, you know, set the map.
Sure.
But realizing, depending on the size of your company or organization, you can't do it alone, which is what you started off with. And I think if they, as teammates, are seen as like associates and teammates and they're in your huddle, why wouldn't they be able to walk alongside sure. you? It's not like, oh, that person belongs way back there. This isn't hierarchy. This is actually, you know, moving an organization. I think empowering is a fun word. It's often misinformed or misinterpreted or misdiagnosed. And I love the self-awareness you started mm-hmm. with. That's really it.
Well, and I think part of, for me, what the self-awareness has been is, and this is what I try to, whenever I do assessments with teams, I always use this thing. These are not labels. Mm. I don't want to write up, okay, you know, put it on there like, hello, my name is.
Yeah.
I don't want to come up to my teammates and go,
what would my name
let's
be?
See.
What would my name be?
You are a noticer.
there you go.
Know, but I don't want to come up to somebody and say, oh, well, you are this, based on the whatever assessment we took, you are this, and so I'm going to put you in this box. But instead, it's a window of insight for primarily because we want to be servant leaders. So if I'm going to serve my teammates, I want to give a window of insight into how that person is processing. When they're speaking, I have a natural filter on my ears that is my way of hearing the world. They're going to be speaking differently, assuming that I'm hearing it the way that they hear it.
Right.
I need that window of insight to be able to say, wait a minute, okay. Because they are this window of insight that I now have on them, I realize what they just said, my first reaction might be, oh, they're not with me. They're not following along on sure. this vision because they're doing this. But then I realize, no, wait a minute. That's the way that they're communicating with me is that they're pointing that out. They're observing something that I didn't get a chance to see. And I start off that whole chapter by talking about a time with my team where I had put an object in the middle of the table. And as we all sat around the table, everybody could see a different facet of that object, but it took all of us around the table to get the full picture. Yep. And that's why we do those assessments is to say,
right.
okay, I want to communicate so that you hear me.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to have my ears tuned in so that you are heard when you're talking back to me. That's why we do those assessments.
Mm-hmm. And you'll have assessment access where the internet's amazing. You've got Hogan, you've got Colby, et cetera. It's not the end all,
no.
but it really is to understand, like, do I have you in the right spot? If I don't, it's my job to say, hey, would you like to be in this seat and do this versus, and then have to backfill. I like org chart maneuvering because people mature.
Mm-hmm.
They gain experiences.
Right.
And at some point, you know, maybe the leader gets tugged in a different direction of expansion or travel or maybe some life stuff. And so I love it when others on the team are empowered enough to say, hey, well, while the boss is gone, I know what he or she would want us to accomplish.
Right.
That is a great gift.
Yep. Well, so I'm going to drop a little teaser here.
Oh boy.
Greg, you've got a book that is in process right now
yeah.
that is talking about, this, transition out, not temporarily for the point leader, but they're at the end of their career with their business. And one of the parts that you elaborate on in that book is that the valuation of a company can be negatively impacted if you just have that one leader, if you don't have the next gen of leaders that can step in there. Yeah. And you can't wait until the end of the journey to look around and go, okay, who's going to step up now?
Right.
You have to be doing that all along the way.
Yeah.
And so part of that is that empowering that you talked about. I need to figure out ways to give the power to somebody now.
Yeah, right.
And that really segues into chapter 6 then, after I share this biblical example in chapter 5 of a leader who was bringing in people from all kinds of diverse backgrounds to rally behind one vision. You lean into two different words. One is command, where everybody's like the leader is saying, do this, and everybody's like, yes, sir. And the other word is the includer, where you're saying, okay, how can I bring you on board? Right. Talk for a second about some people, when they hear that word includer, they're going to say, well, wait a minute. You guys just said at the beginning, vision has to be just one person. And includer kind of sounds like maybe you're starting to ask other people to shoulder some of this, figure some of this out for you. So talk a little bit about how includer is not that.
Well, I think includer, once you've set the map, we all realize we're not going to do it ourselves individually. And the includer is, all right, so they're going to need to own it themselves as well, whatever role they're in. And it's actually one of the StrengthFinder's 34 strengths is includer.
Yep.
And it's someone who wishes for others to be a part of it, that taking action, because if I'm gone, someone else is going to have to, you know, keep the ship going. And that training doesn't happen in one day. So unfortunately, for a business valuation, owner dependent is a tough value decreaser at times, because the person buying it thinks, well, I don't want to run this company. I'm buying a good one run by him or her.
Right.
And if he or she's gone, is anybody else able to do this? And so it does bring the value down, but it also is clunky to the next.
Oh yeah.
The next successor. Right. Like, yeah, you didn't even help me get ready.
Right. You know? Well, let me just say one.
Sure.
You do a quick in this chapter 6, you go, imagine kind of looking at even just a staff meeting, this contrast between the command and the includer.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you said the command position, the leader's always at the head of the table. The empowering or including position is where there's point leaders, one point leader, but a multitude of leaders around the table, that everybody's got a chance to be on the microphone, not just one person. You talk about the flow of words comes from with the command from the front of the table to the rest of the room. But in the other one, in the includer part, there's like this round robin. There's this bouncing where the conversation, I'm going to feed off of you, and then they're going to grab it, and then might come back to me, but then it's going to bounce around like that. So talk about what that does in context as we're talking about vision casting here.
Right.
What does that do for people to buy into the vision?
I think one, say, I want to win together. I mean, I'm not against individual sports, golf, tennis, swimming, I get it. But the team wins. If you watch the celebration, you know, someone was in the Olympics and they touched the wall of the pool and they won. They're the only one in the pool.
Right.
I mean, they're putting their hands up. The crowd may join in. But a team, whether it's, well, we've got a World Cup going on, you know, that's a big one globally. So when someone scores a goal, they just don't go to the sidelines. The team chases them. And it isn't always the best player that scores.
Right.
And so I just think it's impressive when a leader is okay sharing the mic. I had to do a strategic planning workshop for a business, and I brought in a foam microphone, you know, like the stick, you know, but the foam is on top too. And we just put it in the middle of the table. It was seven of us. And then they would just grab the mic fictitiously. And it was amazing how respectful others were, like, so you have something to say, go ahead. And then they would, you know, hold the mic and, well, I got something. It triggered my thought. And so the person would, and so handing that microphone was a symbolic move of, we're all here. You're not just listening. we're all here contributing. And I love that for the includer. It's yep. contribute. It's okay. And I think from the leader down, you know, some organizations are pretty flat, which I like, you know, versus the hierarchy and command center. It's just important for people to know that their thoughts, and you can't do it all.
Right.
You have to be able to say, so throw it out there. We can't do everything today.
Right.
But participate. What do you got in there? What did you hear? What did you feel?
Well, and I think the including, from my perspective, what I found is when I include people and allow them to share their input and weigh in, then they're better, more likely to buy in.
Yes.
Even if like one particular aspect of the vision, if they're kind of like, I'm not sure that that's going to work. Maybe mm-hmm. we should try this. And then as the rest of the room talks about it, maybe it's, if there's a vote or whatever, maybe the consensus is, no, we're not going to go with yours. You're going this way. They at least can say, but everybody heard me.
Correct.
They yeah. let me share my best ideas, even if my idea wasn't selected, mm-hmm. At least I was a part of the team. And that is empowering too. Because if it's the command yeah. where the leader goes,
we're doing this.
Yeah. And somebody starts to talk, and you're like,
no, I'm not done yet. No, we're doing this. Nope.
Nobody, you're not going to tell me I'm the leader. This is my business. This yeah. is, you know, look at the board picked me to run this thing and you're going to do it my way. Sure, you'll have people that follow you, but kind of like you used that little fun quote at the beginning, you're taking a walk and people are just kind of walking along with you, not really happy about being there for that right. walk, but yeah. like, well, I'm getting my paycheck and so I guess I got to go for this walk to get the paycheck.
Having an organization of quite a few people, my last gig was just amazing, where we had to kind of set the table. All right, so I'm going to facilitate this meeting, but I'm not taking over the meeting. We're all going to participate. Yes. And almost setting up the ground rules. So for leaders, it's really important. Like,
oh, yes.
Like, hey, this is not a monologue.
Right.
Even when I've spoken in front of groups.
So now pause for just a second.
Oh boy.
When you say that, when you tell people or you have it in your mind as the point leader, I don't want this to be a monologue. You're going to share something and stop talking and the rest of the room is going to be quiet. Right? At times?
Uncomfortably.
So what do you have to do as the leader at that point?
Discipline to be quiet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How hard is that?
Well, for some people you want to keep it going because you know, I got an hour or whatever, but right. I know there's great ideas around the table.
Yep.
You could just feel it. So you just got to wait it out.
And sometimes I'll even call on people when it's that quiet. Yeah. I'll just be like, hey,
you haven't said much. I know there's,
looks like you've got something to share. What are you thinking?
In some of the facilitated meetings versus run a meeting, you know,
right.
That's kind of command. In facilitating meetings, I like, I don't know if I saw a light bulb, but you got to have something, a great idea somewhere. I saw a light bulb fictitiously. And right. they're like, I did not, but I do have a good idea.
Right.
And you just have to almost
yep.
invite it out.
Yep.
But that's kind of the includer, right? Like I don't have all the ideas. What do you got? And I love calling on the people who, and you can't make it fake.
Right.
You go like, Hey Bill, I know I'm sure you got something. Please add to this.
And listen, friends, I'd add too, especially if this is your first time casting vision for maybe your division or maybe it's a whole organization. You've thought about it for a long time. You've got a pretty clear picture in your mind what it's going to be. The rest of your team that's hearing it for the first time, it's probably going to be a lot more quiet at that time. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. Let people process that.
Right.
I have sat with some leaders that have cast vision for the first time for their organization, and you see people processing. And the processing looks like this on their face sometimes. Looks like they're upset, but they're thinking through, okay, well, this is going to be change. Do I like change? And I've watched those point leaders, mm-hmm. those immature leaders, then say, can't believe that these people aren't just jumping on board with me. Give them some time to digest right. that, process that.
Yeah.
As you go along and the vision's well laid out, I think you'll have a hard time getting people to be quiet.
Which is wonderful.
In those including facilitating yeah. meetings because everyone right. wants to share.
All right. They're getting some freebies today. So sometimes if I could feel there was a topic or something we had to fix at our company, we'd meet as a group, you know, sometimes smaller, sometimes company-wide. And I love to set the meeting set up like, so this is going to be an idea session.
Mm-hmm.
So people would come in with, well, they want ideas. And you know, you couldn't pick them all.
Right.
But if it was, okay, so we're making changes here, you're going to get a form. So I just want you to understand the changes in this form and then execute it. What participation was that?
Right.
In my notes regarding commanders and includers, basically. So commanders make order. Like I'm making an order. So basically, it's just obedience.
Right.
It's not participation.
Yeah, you want everybody to just
right.
salute.
Exactly. Yeah. And then includers, they embrace order.
Yep.
So sometimes order around a table using that, you know, Nerf foam yep. microphone was, that's order.
Yep.
Just wait. And then sometimes people be like, oh, clearly they want people to start talking. So they might say something. That's a great point. Anybody else want to add to that? And you kind of just egg it along, and all of a sudden you're like, all right, I only have one mic. You all can't talk. And that's a great maturity where they start realize the vision also needs some action.
Yep.
And they want us to participate, which is such a compliment from a leader to other teammates.
Yep.
But I think making commands, making order versus embracing it. And all right, I think we got some ideas. Let's meet again. These are the three that you all, you know, contributed. I like them all.
Yep.
And they're like, heck yeah.
Right.
You know, they're right. like, I'm all excited, yep. you know. So I think.
But how much more willing are they to brainstorm ideas and come back at the next meeting when they know they're going to be heard?
Right.
Whether their idea is accepted or not, at least you heard
mm-hmm.
and you gave, oh yeah, okay, let's consider that. Yeah.
I love when people are free to say, you know what, I'm going to throw it out there. I don't know if y'all like it.
Yep.
Cool.
Great. Yeah. Throw it out there. Share that. You got a great Last quote in our shared note there.
Leaders become great not because of their power, but because of their ability to empower.
Yes.
And I think people potentially, when you feel you're empowered, you think differently as a teammate. Like, well, they really need me here.
Yep.
Versus, hey, I wonder if I can make $3 an hour somewhere else. You know,
yeah.
And they take their eye off the ball. So I think that empowering is so infectious to a society and particularly a organization. It's just hard to be patient. Yes. I would have to admit that, you know, like, all right, there's more ideas out there, but you're all chickens. Come on, this right. is safe.
And it does take some time to build that culture.
Yeah. And I do think sometimes I've had to do one post meeting where someone talked a lot.
Sure.
Right.
But that's fine. That's fine.
I would give him like, if you could do 30% less, I didn't say silence.
Right.
30% less, Mary might have something, but we kind of ran out of time.
Right.
And you kind of coach them.
Yep.
You know, how to participate and join the vision.
Well, so I'm going to key on your word coaching. That's one of the things that we love doing because people might say something like, I can't get people in my meetings to talk. Oh. This is a great place for a coach from Maximize Leadership to come in and just sit and observe some of your meetings. We'll ask some questions ahead of time. We'll dialogue with you afterwards and come up with some suggestions. Hey, here's what we've noticed. Because what we found, I think a lot of people, you are, and rightly so, you're so tunnel visioned on yes. running your business that sometimes it's hard for you to step outside to work on some of the other things. Mm-hmm. And that's the value of a coach. So if you go to maximizeleadership.com, click on the tab that says coaching. And if you scroll down, you'll find a form on there that you can fill out and say, maybe it's just saying something like, I can't get my people to share in a meeting. Or I'm having some trouble sharing this vision in a way to get people to buy in on it. That's the kind of information that we'll work with. We'll come back to you. We'll work with you, come up with a strategy for us to coach you. It might be a one or two time meeting. It might be an ongoing thing, but we'll discuss that with you and we'll come up with something that will help benefit you. The other thing that we'd love to do, and so I didn't even check this with you, but I'm going to obligate you to something right here.
What?
So here's what we're going to do. Down below on this video where you can leave comments, we're going to do here for the first,
oh boy.
Let's go the first five people The first five people that leave us a comment and somewhere in your comment say, I would like a copy of Business by the Book, then
a free copy.
Just say you want a copy. Oh, and then boy. The first five that do that, you and I will get a free copy.
Okay.
But what I'm going to obligate you to is that you're going to have to autograph the book as well.
I'll autograph your name, no problem.
Okay, so that's what we got for you. So put that down below. And speaking of YouTube, if you haven't subscribed, please do that. Click the bell so you're notified. We not only have the full-length episodes, we have some shorter clips as well. We have some max minutes that Greg does. And this is the spot where we'll keep you updated as well as future books in this series and other books like the one that we hinted at that Greg's working on. When that comes out, you'll be the first to know that as well. We're here to resource you so that you can grow as a leader, because when you grow as a leader, everyone around you is going to grow in their capacity as well. And we're going to make a huge change because of that. So stay tuned. There's lots more great content that will be coming your way real soon.
Get in touch with Craig and Greg through Twitter at Maximize Podcast or at MaximizeLeadership.com. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any episodes of the Craig and Greg Show.